We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome inside the Guilty as Charged podcast. My name is Steven. I am your host, and we are coming to you live after the first day of training camp. Football is back. I cannot wait to talk about everything that kind of happened today. We'll talk about some news and notes. We'll talk about some studs and duds. And, of course, we'll be aided by Tyler's on-site experience. So, Tyler, of course, we have to start with you. How are you doing, and how was the first day of training camp for you and Arjun?
Oh, thank you. Football is back. My goodness, it felt so good to get back. And this is the first year in 2 years that we didn't have, you know, maybe are we supposed to wear a mask? Like, can we go here? You know, everybody's getting tested before, whatever. It's just football. It's great football. It's Chargers football. And you get to see, like, oh, there's JC Jackson. Oh, there's Khalil Mack. And it's just awesome. It's Christmas morning for all of us. Well, for some of us. And it feels good.
Yeah, I was trying to explain to Brooke, like, the magnitude of the opening of training camp and, like, it happening during the week. Because, yeah. Like, I mean, I could take work off and, like, go down, right? And so she was like, so do all these people just take vacation time to go to see the Chargers practice? And I was like, hell yeah, they do. Like, let's go. This is a big deal. So that was a fun conversation today. Alex is here as well, man. Alex, how are you doing today?
Doing good. And I'm appreciative of Tyler there, so then I can write articles based off of what Tyler tweets and all the other beat writers. So thanks. Circle of content.
So just what Tyler tweets then, and Daniel.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, there's not a lot of them around anymore, but...
Yeah, you know, there are some good ones still. Most of them happen to tweet after, like, the press conferences, though. So if any of you guys are listening, we appreciate you. Tweet more during the practice, please. It'd be a lot of fun. So, you know, I think we've got to start this conversation, of course, in terms of press conferences, just really quickly. It's not a news and notes thing. We're going to cover news and notes. But damn, Khalil Mack knows how to drop a mic, man. That shit gave me some chills. Khalil Mack is coming, and I cannot wait to see how that kind of plays out on the field. What a freaking moment for a press conference to open the season.
Can you I mean, I don't know if all of our viewers know what you're talking about. What happened?
Yeah, so the player press conferences happened. First and foremost, Brandon Staley's press conference happened, and we'll talk about some of that. Khalil Mack was asked how hungry he is, how motivated he is, and he said, I'll show you. And then he walked off. And it was just, in terms of Chargers press conference moments, I think it's right up there with the best of them. I would have to, like, go through my memory banks and figure out how that would rank. But Khalil Mack knows how to drop a mic, man. And that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love Joey Bosa, of course. He does give great press conferences, but it's a little different with Khalil Mack. There's just something different there.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see that translate onto the field.
Yeah, I think if you asked Joey Bosa how hungry are you, he would just, like, give you an answer. Like, I don't know what I'm having for lunch yet. But, like, Khalil Mack just kind of, like, takes the mic and runs with it. So it's great.
Yeah. I will say, though, that Joey talking about Derek Carr last year is probably another, like, great press conference moment.
Yeah.
And hopefully we get another one of those moments this year after week one. So All right. Well, I mentioned this. We'll talk about some news and notes first and foremost. Some thoughts from Tyler, some thoughts from the press conference. And then we'll talk about some standouts, some players who did not necessarily take advantage of the moment today. And then we'll take some questions as well. So I've seen a couple people have some questions in the chat. Just wait if you can. You know, we'll have a little mini Q&A at the end of the show today. So first and foremost, in terms of news and notes, I think we have to start with Kenneth Murray here. You know, and we can talk a little bit about the linebacker rotation after that. But, you know, Brandon Staley, when asked about Kenneth Murray, said that he's been making some great progress throughout the summer. However, he put a 4 to 6 week timetable on Kenneth Murray in terms of when we will see him out there and practicing. So the timetable that was set was a little jarring, but I'm not necessarily surprised given how this Chargers coaching staff has kind of chosen to ease players back into the swing of things. So if it is 6 weeks, that means that Kenneth Murray would start practicing fully the week before the first game, which is certainly not ideal. This is definitely not a great situation for Kenneth Murray to be in. Obviously, we hope he gets healthy, and that is first and foremost. But if he misses 4 weeks, then he would start practicing the week of the last preseason game. So he would essentially get, the week of the second preseason game. So Kenneth Murray would essentially get 2 weeks of full practice, two preseason games, probably not playing them. But theoretically, he would get two preseason games the week before the first week and then the game. So that's where Kenneth Murray is at. Alex, what are your thoughts here with Kenneth Murray's health and how he could potentially get back into the swing of things, not get back into the swing of things? Where are you at right now with Kenneth Murray?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the way they've laid it out for you basically is that it's probably going to be 6 weeks, just with how Staley and the Chargers staff likes to keep it pretty cautious with that kind of stuff. Definitely don't want him getting hurt again at this point. Right. It's very suboptimal. I mean, you're talking about a player in Kenneth Murray who obviously struggled last year, struggled to stay healthy, and, you know, now going into what is kind of supposed to be, you know, what Jerry Tillery's year was last year, right? Like, this is your prove it year prior to picking up the fifth year option, not picking up the fifth year option, whatever it might be. You know, it's a real bummer, but I am comforted a little bit more by the fact that they do have Kyle Van Noy back there, right? So I think the fact that you have him and Tranquil starting, if you cannot have Murray for, you know, however many games of the regular season or, you know, just all of training camp, that is the best case scenario for the Chargers. And I was afraid that they would, like, throw Reader in there a little bit. And they might still do that and tinker during training camp. But I think if Kenneth Murray's out, and you don't really have a way to kind of assess his potential and all you've invested in him so far, the best thing to do in the meantime is get Kyle Van Noy and Tranquil out there and let the rest take care of itself. So huge bummer, but we all kind of saw it coming based on the fact that he missed most of minicamp and, you know, recently had the surgery around then too.
Yeah, it's a real shame. It's both an expected scenario, but also kind of, to me, in terms of missing practice time, the worst case scenario, because he's probably going to miss six weeks, which means he's going to walk onto the field week one and play against the Raiders, which, I mean, whatever, but, like, I just don't see that happening. And to be completely honest, but the way, with as many snaps as Kyle Van Noy had today at inside linebacker, specifically as, like, the starter, it was like Tranquil and Reader would kind of rotate with each other, but Kyle Van Noy was that starter. I think he's sort of going to be what Murray was supposed to be last year. Perhaps he was heavily, heavily involved today, and I think they're preparing for Murray to miss those 6 weeks, and then I don't know, maybe more than that, to be completely honest. Just with the fact that they brought in Kyle Van Noy to play a lot of inside linebacker, they brought in Troy Reader to play inside linebacker, like, they are preparing for Murray to be out how long, I don't know. Again, they said 4 to 6 weeks to start practicing. But how right. that translates to actually starting and starting over Kyle Van Noy and Troy Reader and Drew Tranquil, who might be very good to start the year, it's going to take a while, I think, based on the way they've kind of what they've shown us. And with this timetable, it's going to take a good long while for Murray to actually be out there and starting. And I don't know if they'll officially commit to that anytime soon or not.
Yeah, this is a huge deal in terms of roster construction or in terms of playing time for certain players. Of course, it really sucks for Kenneth Murray. I think we were all, I mean, going back to last summer, we were all super excited about Kenneth Murray's potential in this defense and what he was going to be able to do. And, you know, I remember Brandon Staley was speaking so highly of him after that first week of practice in training camp of 2021. And this year, like, we all want to see him succeed. I know there's been a lot of negativity around, you know, Kenneth Murray's play, but like the peak of this Chargers defense is just so much higher if you have a locked and loaded Kenneth Murray, you know, starting as your linebacker one or linebacker two, depending on how you kind of want to phrase it. But it's so unfortunate to see a player go through this. And, you know, we all love the draft pick selection as well, you know, the kind of player and person that they were getting. And it's just tough for me to envision a world where Kenneth Murray is playing at his peak, at his absolute best this season with kind of what's going on. And, you know, we'll see if he's able to, you know, play in week one, but if he's not practicing until the week before the first game, he might play a few snaps here or there, but they would have to ease him into the rotation, get his, you know, game speed back on track before he's fully comfortable starting and playing, you know, 60, 70 snaps on any given game. So this is just, I figured we wouldn't see him for the first couple weeks of training camp, but after mini camp, it kind of sounded like he would maybe be involved in, you know, the first preseason game a little bit and kind of work his way back in and then have basically that full month of lead up into the first game. But for Brandon Staley to suggest today that we might not see him at all in training camp was pretty jarring, man. To be honest, I was just like, okay, like this has changed a lot since mini camp.
Mm-hmm. When do they have their bye? Their bye is week 8 this year. That seems like way too long, yeah. Obviously, for him to get out there. Like, I don't think it's that. But in terms of putting him back in the starting lineup, I wouldn't be surprised if that's where we're headed. Things could change, sure. But so far, A, he's an oft-injured player. And B, like, this surgery or this problem has been worse than they expected. Now we have a 6-week timetable where he's not practicing. I think it might take till week 8 in that bye for him to actually be a part, like, or actually be the starter again. I think we're going to get maybe he doesn't play maybe the first couple of games. And then I think we'll get something like we did in week 18 last year, where he's kind of like Drew Tranquil, where he just kind of subs in where he can. But you have maybe more your two starters, that being White and Murray last year. So I think it's going to be a bit. And frankly, if he's missing a couple of games and he's not really the starter until week 8, that's a tough evaluation for a guy that you need to really make a decision on.
I mean, if you're talking about 9 regular season games, or I guess that would be 10, right? Yeah, that would be 10 regular season games plus potentially playoffs. Like, is that enough really to have enough evaluation information on to pick up a 5th-year option? Like, this is just awful news today for Kenneth Murray. And maybe it's the 4 weeks. Maybe we're over-exaggerating. Maybe he comes back after 4 weeks and everything is fine. But I'm nervous about this, to say the least.
Yeah, and he's officially not going to play in the preseason. Like, I doubt, even if he's cleared in 4 weeks of practice, not playing in the preseason. So this guy's supposed to learn and get involved with this scheme and everything going on, and then immediately start week 1. It's a bad situation. This stinks. It really stinks to see this happen to him.
I mean, look, there's a track record of underperforming first round picks who don't play in the preseason as they enter their third year. There's a pattern here. So, fortunately for Kenneth Murray, it's not really optional, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So in terms of the rotation after him, I guess I was at least slightly surprised that it ended up being Kyle Van Noy. I mean, we all have essentially thought that he was going to be primarily playing at the edge, on the edge, and be kind of that secondary pass rusher. I don't really know how I feel about Kyle Van Noy being linebacker one and also rotating at edge from time to time, because for me, I feel like you want him being one of those roles needs to be like his primary role, and then the other role needs to be like a 10 snaps a game kind of role. And so for me, I'd rather have Kyle Van Noy on the edge and then deal with Tranquil and Troy Reader at linebacker, as opposed to Chris Rumpf and Jamal Davis, Emeka Egbole, whatever rotation is there at edge. So I guess, Tyler, your thoughts here as it pertains to Kyle Van Noy being like linebacker one at this point. It's the first day of training camp.
Yeah.
But I think it is important. Like, you know, Kenneth Murray's not going to be on the field for 4 weeks. You start the day of training camp with Kyle Van Noy as your linebacker one. What are your thoughts here?
Again, one day. So bear with me here, as this is probably completely wrong. To me, it feels like they just wanted to get someone who could replicate what Kenneth Murray is going to do in this defense. And I think they just like, okay, so naturally that would be Kyle Van Noy. So we're going to have him out there to kind of work the defense that we'd like to see once Kenneth Murray is back to healthy. And then when, you know, I think Kyle Van Noy is just going to be occasionally that inside linebacker and really be that edge three, kind of like we expect. I actually don't know if he really is going to be the linebacker one as much as he's just going out there to replicate exactly what they want from Kenneth Murray. And then Tranquil and Reader are going to rotate as the other inside linebacker. So we'll see kind of more as things progress. But I do think, yes, he did play a lot of snaps, and I do think he's going to have a big role. I'm wondering if it's just to replicate the kind of defense and what they want to see in terms of coverages and responsibilities. And then maybe when Kenneth Murray comes back, everything goes back to normal, if you will.
Yeah, that's kind of like a, would you rather have Kyle Van Noy at linebacker or at edge in absence of Kenneth Murray? Because then that's basically like, do you want Reader or Rumpf playing significant snaps is the question. I'm sort of on team put Kyle Van Noy at linebacker at this point, just because, I mean, look, you're going to be dealing with Kenneth Murray probably till week 8 in this state for him to get back to, you know, being a starter, like Tyler said. I do not trust Troy Reader much at all when it comes to pass coverage. Sure. I don't trust Troy Reader really as an open field tackler either. I mean, he's like an okay body to have out there in Staley's system. But, you know, for looking to improve this run defense to what it can be, I feel much better about having Van Noy out there. And then you have Mack and Bosa on the edge. And look, you can also adjust this based on if Bosa and Mack stay healthy as well, right? Sure. Because if one of them gets hurt, you know, let's say week 3, then you can probably put Kyle Van Noy back to a full-time edge role, or, you know, close to a full-time edge role, obviously splitting maybe 10 snaps a game at linebacker still or something. So, you know, you can kind of adjust it based on that too, but they're really hurting a linebacker right now. They're more hurt at linebacker after today. And for me, I think you just kind of go with the best player there, especially in a year where they can't really afford to have their linebackers be bottom tier again, even though, you know, obviously it's, you know, less important in this defense.
Yeah. The linebacker thing is really interesting because obviously we know, like, cap wise, linebacker was not super valuable to this defense, but at the same time, like, they ask a lot of their linebackers. Like, their linebackers have to be consistent, they have to be playmakers, or the defense just doesn't work. So it is an interesting thing. So we'll move on to the next one, which is obviously Derwin James. Did not practice today with a shoulder injury, in air quotations. Really, he didn't practice because of his contract situation, you know, which is what a bunch of the reporters and Brandon Staley said after the fact. So I know Arjun pointed out in the quick recap, he didn't see Telesco or Scott or Ed McGuire. Telesco was there for what it's worth. He was mostly in the back, I felt like. I saw a couple of videos of him back there, and he was on the field doing some media appearances. But Alex, what do you make of Derwin not practicing today? Do you think this contract negotiation gets solved quickly? And anything else you have related to Derwin James?
Yeah, it'll be done before the Rams game. I still have full confidence in that. As far as like Derwin, they both seem to be on amicable terms, right? There's no holdout. You know, Melvin Gordon is not at the facility circa 2019, right? So the fact that he's holding in and the fact that he's on the field and the fact that he's with the players, I think is really important, even if he's not participating in drills. But honestly, he shouldn't be participating in drills either, right? Like, both from Derwin's standpoint, from the team's standpoint, you don't want Derwin getting hurt, you know, prior to him getting paid. And Derwin doesn't want to get hurt prior to getting paid either. So, you know, I think it really is the best thing for both sides at this point. And there's no fears of Derwin, you know, adjusting to, you know, missing a couple practices, missing a couple training camps, you know, as, like we just talked about with, say, Kenneth Murray, for example. So for me, you know, Derwin comes when he comes in, and I think they do get a deal done. And, you know, at this point, I think he's right for holding it. And I know and it's a weird thing for, you know, NFL fans to be like, oh, that guy's holding out. He's being selfish. But no, I think Derwin deserves to be the highest paid safety in the league. And he should exercise every bit of player power he has to get that.
Yeah. So as James C. points out, Melvin Ingram did hold in, if you will. His was more obviously about getting his contract fully guaranteed for that season, as opposed to like getting a contract extension. So it's slightly different cases, but I absolutely agree. Didn't make any sense for Derwin to be out there practicing if he did not have his contract done. So I would think like Rams game would be like the last like worst case scenario here for getting this extension done. Like the Chargers have, there's too many incentives for the Chargers to get this done as soon as possible and get Derwin out there. I mean, like, not that they necessarily care anything, but I mean, Saturday is kind of like the big hype up training camp day. And I think obviously the product would just be a lot better if Derwin James were out there and practicing. So, to me, they're probably, you know, just kind of negotiating the final guaranteed portion of things. But we've known for a long time, like, he's going to be the highest paid safety in the league. We know what that number is going to look like. It's just about the little minute details. And there's probably not a Kyler Murray film study, independent study clause in there. So I assume this is mostly just guaranteed structures and things like that.
They have the same agent, though, right? I think this is Ligetta also.
No, Kyler Murray has a different agent. Kyler Murray is, because I remember, because Steve Keim, their GM, has the same agent as Kyler Murray. Oh, it's okay. Not, it's not Matt Ligetta, or however you say it.
Interesting. For what it's worth, for everyone who didn't hear the mini recap, he was out there a bit, and he was out there with helmetless, like 7-on-7s. Then they put on the helmets, and then he stepped out. So really, my next timeline is just when they put on pads. Like, I think that just getting the contract done before they put on pads on Monday.
So that'll be next week.
Yeah.
That'll be next week.
So I would love for that to get done. Now, why would a week make a difference in negotiations? I don't know. I don't know when they started. I don't know if they just waited for Minka's contract and then started from there. But it really just seems like it's coming down to guarantees. I'm fine with him sitting out. I understand why he would sit out. I would probably do the same thing. I would hold in, hang out. If you told me it was, you know, $76 million was sitting there, I would pull up my, you know, lawn chair and I would just hang out. I would be there, but I would rest. He's missed a year because of a practice injury. He's missed half a year because of a practice injury. Not even like middle of the season practice, like training camp practice. So I understand why he is holding in. I'm glad to see him there. I'm not concerned at all that this doesn't get done. We'd just like to see it happen so we can just move on with our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind that this happens in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, if it gets done before padded practice, I think that's better. If it gets done before Saturday, I think even better. So in terms of what was the rotation at safety outside of Derwin, obviously I assume Nasir Adderley was starting at free safety. What was kind of the rotations there? And kind of an extension here, I guess. Mark Webb, the former seventh round pick from Georgia, was practicing today, as Tyler pointed out on Twitter. So whatever knee issue he had in minicamp that he was not practicing with, he was practicing today. But Tyler, how did the rest of that rotation shake out? Sans Derwin.
Yeah, so for 2.5 seconds, it was Derwin and Nasir Adderley. Obviously, that'll be the case. When Derwin James came out, Alohi Gilman came in. When Adderley came out, it was JT Woods that went in. Mark Webb was practicing fully and healthy. I don't recall. I'll try to pick up on this board tomorrow and through the rest of the week whether he was who he was switching out with. But it seemed like Mark Webb was kind of the outside fifth guy right now, which we don't like. We all projected Gilman to be the guy who's cut. Still very possible. Webb has barely been on the field. Right. But for right now, Webb is that safety five. So JT Woods is your backup free safety. Alohi Gilman, your backup strong safety. Or, you know, again, it's a freaking too high, but still, that's kind of how the rotation shook out.
Yeah, so I would expect that Webb is kind of getting that ease back into things treatment right now. Of course, having the knee surgery would certainly kind of cause that, but, you know, it's going to be a battle, right? You know, Brandon said they talked about the secondary group and everybody that they've added and, you know, what the group needs back there. So nice toss, Tyler. Good job. So Webb and Gilman are going to, you know, go at it, I guess, this summer. So I saw a couple of people talking about Khalil Mack and asking about Khalil Mack because he wasn't necessarily out there to start one of the drills. He was asked if he's fully healthy Brandon said he was asked if he is fully healthy. He is 100% cleared, is my understanding. He was out there with his helmet. Were you able to see anything from Khalil Mack? And kind of same question here. What was the edge rotation like?
Wasn't able to see much from him. I don't know why the very first drill that they did, he wasn't out there. And both Arjun, who was there with me and I, we thought, where's Khalil Mack? Where is he? Is he not, like, why wouldn't he be out here with the first team? It was Rumpf instead. But he was out there. And by the time they got to the end of practice, they were doing their 11 on 11s. And Khalil Mack was the starter. That said, they are so far on the other side of the field that there's no way I could tell you, oh, he looked really good, or he looked really healthy, or he looks really big. Couldn't tell you much about that. He was just way over there. So, I mean, obviously you have, you know, the edge rotation is about what we expect, right? It's Bosa, it's Mack, then it's going to be Rumpf and Kyle Van Noy. And then from there, it's some combination of Shelby and the other Davis. Oh my goodness. Then Egbule is there, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, you're forgetting the guy. I'm going to wait till he mentions it, but.
Yeah, so Arjun has it right. Like, Rumpf is definitely, in terms of just pure edge rushers, like the edge three, I suppose, behind Bosa. But then Kyle Van Noy is kind of, I guess, you're really your edge three, but he's kind of a hybrid at this point. So, yeah, it's about what we expect. Like, it's going to be the same group of guys that make the roster, the same group of guys that are the same part of the rotation. No surprises here.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how Chris Rumpf is able to progress this year. So he does look a little bit bigger. I know Joey Bosa mentioned at minicamp he's not string bean anymore. So obviously the Chargers need him to take a leap forward. Obviously curious to see how big of a leap he is able to make. So
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We'll talk now about some studs and duds, if you will, players that stood out today, players that did not stand out today. Tyler, I've seen a couple people hinting this in the chat. Do we want to start with the running backs today?
Yes, have to. So big surprise. Last year, okay, so last year's training camp, we opened. We have Austin Eckler, Justin Jackson, Joshua Kelly, and then Larry Roundtree and Darius Bradwell were fighting for a spot with, maybe there's another running back, I don't know. But it was kind of like a nice even, you know, rotation. You just saw, you know, Eckler and Jackson kind of go with the first team and then so on and so forth from there. This year, it's completely different. Like, it wasn't until maybe the last part of the drive that Roundtree even got involved. And I'm not, like, if you told me that Marks and Letty Brown were not there, I'd believe you. And you could almost tell me that Larry Roundtree wasn't there, and I believe you. And frankly, if Larry Roundtree wasn't there, he'd probably have a better practice. It is right now truly a 3RB and fullback, obviously, kind of rotation. Eckler's with the ones, Kelly's with the twos, which I think is temporary and expected. Spiller's with the threes. But then that was it. Like, they would go 11-on-11 with Eckler, then they'd go with Kelly, then they'd go with Spiller, and then the drills would just end. There wasn't even much time for Roundtree to even be on the field. And I don't recall even seeing the two undrafted free agents. Then Larry Rountree goes out and fumbles. And someone asked, I tweeted, like, Larry Rountree just fumbled. And someone said, well, like, they're not in pads. Like, why are they hitting each other? I'm like, no, they're not in pads. He literally just fumbled.
Alex is dying over here.
Which does not endear yourself to the coaching staff. So it's, yeah, it's definitely
bummed on the first day without pads, man. That's a rough
yeah. One. I couldn't tell you what happened. You know, I just know that he did fumble and someone picked it up. But it really looks like the Chargers are going to go with one fullback and three running backs if practice is any indication. And especially now that special teams isn't dominating practice, I don't know where someone like Larry Rountree or especially the two undrafted free agents fit in. Maybe they carry four, but so far, it looks like three running backs and a fullback. And right now, just talking about fullbacks, Neighbors is the starter so far, which is expected again.
Yeah, I mean, this... Go ahead, Alex, sorry.
You know, I was just going to say, I would love to see a B3 running backs. I hope that that holds throughout the duration of training camp and the preseason as well. As far as Larry Rountree, I saw Tyler's tweet and I had the same reaction. I'm like, how did he fumble? I was like, not hitting each other. He just lost it. I think the big thing going into this was going to be Eckler's one, Spiller was going to be three, I think, regardless. And then they were going to have Kelly or Rountree be the second back that eventually gets surpassed. But I think the fact that it's Kelly by a significant distance is pretty important to mention. I mean, Steven kind of talked about this when we did our training camp battle episode on Sunday. If you were to just purely pick the three best running backs, it would probably be Eckler, Spiller, and Kelly, right? But I was sort of viewing it through like, oh, well, this, you know, Rountree is more likely to be like a complimentary back.
Right.
Not sure you can call him a complimentary back after today. But yeah, I think that you have those three guys. And if you were to just pick specifically the three best running backs on the team, it would be them. So I'm not terribly surprised that they went that direction. The upside of Kelly still, you know, outweighs the upside of Rountree by quite a lot in terms of what he could do as an athlete and what we've seen from him in terms of his highs in the NFL to this point, aside from his fumbling problem that he's had to get over in his career. So I guess I'm not super surprised, but it definitely is a step back for Larry Rountree. And now he's probably fighting with Marks and Brown to be either the fourth running back or make the practice squad in the event that they keep three. So I will wait to do my victory lap. It's coming at some point, but I'll wait.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great, like I said, to start training camp with a fumble and start out of the rotation like that. I am a little surprised, frankly, that was the case. I mean, you know, a lot of people were like, oh, like, why is Joshua Kelly getting reps over Isaiah Spiller? Like, why? That's a little confusing. This is just like how this team does business. Like, they want their rookies to earn their stripes, right? Like, there's no reason that, you know, JT Woods is not playing over Elohi Gilman. There's no reason that Xander Horvath is not playing over Gabe Neighbors or like Asante Samuel Jr. being a backup to Brandon Faison last year. So this is just like they want to see the rookies earn their stripes a little bit. I obviously expect Isaiah to start earning those RB2 snaps at some point. But he's going to have to earn it. Like I said, I am surprised definitely that Kelly was that much more ahead of Larry Rountree. I figured coming in that you'd see a lot of Austin Eckler and then essentially you'd see like a three-man split with Spiller, Rountree and Kelly. So to see Kelly that much ahead of Rountree's in terms of on the field talent is not surprising, but in terms of like what we expected heading into today is definitely surprising.
Yeah, I love that almost the entire offseason going, yeah, well, Kelly didn't, you know, he was the guy who was on the team still. I mean, Rountree was, but Rountree was inactive, didn't play since week 11. Totally pushing for Kelly, saying that he'd be the RB3. Then we finally do an episode where I do training camp battles, and I decided to put Rountree as the RB3. And then, of course, you know, that changes instantly. Right. So I just, like, I don't know what Rountree can do at this point. Like, if he's back there, he's just Letty Brown, but drafted in the sixth round. And Kelly, like, he offers more. It's just, it's obviously very worrisome about the fumbling. But if you're Larry Rountree and you're fumbling in practice, that's a problem. Now, for what it's worth, I am 99% positive that Larry Rountree fumbled in practice. I'm pretty sure that was him. With that said, he's on the far side of the field. I didn't see anybody else comment on the fact that Larry Rountree fumbled. I also didn't see anyone else comment on the fact that a punter shanked a ball 30 yards in the opposite direction. But whatever. So I'm 99% positive it is Larry Rountree, but I haven't seen anybody else confirm that yet either. So perhaps
if it wasn't,
I'm wrong.
If it wasn't Larry Rountree, I appreciate your efforts for the agenda.
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of the punter, there have been a couple people that have said that there were two punters out there. We have not really been able to confirm who the second punter was. Again, after minicamp, I heard that Ben Griffiths, the former USC Trojan, was pretty impressive. And Daniel Popper also reported that he was potentially going to get a training camp invite as well. Again, have not heard. Alex pointed out in our group chat before that it could be, what's his name, the undrafted free agent?
James McCourt.
James McCourt, thank you. He could be getting reps there, so again, have not confirmed that. All right, in terms of the opposite side of the spectrum, of course, have to give a shout out today to Joe Gaziano. Getting a pick six in the first day of training camp as a defensive lineman is pretty damn cool. I know there were no pads. It's hard to have a lot of takeaways about linemen when there are no pads on the field, but Joe Gaziano deserves some love, man. I have been watching the Chargers defensive line. I keep saying this. Every time Joe Gaziano is in the game, he makes a play. And I don't think he's going to make this roster, but I just wish I could find a spot for him, right? Like if I were watching him on practice every single day and watching him in these games, he is always flashing. And maybe this is the year that he earns a spot. I don't know. But getting a pick six as a defensive lineman on the first day of training camp had to be pretty cool for him.
Yeah, Gaziano, I mean, we saw this in the preseason last year with him and Broughton just kind of were coming like every play, and they were the two most consistent defensive linemen. I know that held up sort of like in practices last year. So I'm not surprised to hear Joe Gaziano's doing good again. It's just going to be a numbers game in terms of him making the roster and, you know, how many, you know, pass rushing guys they want to keep versus how many kind of run stuffing guys. It'll be interesting to see how that goes down the stretch. But I think in terms of guys who have earned it in the time here, in terms of getting one of those backup roster spots, Joe Gaziano has been a guy for a while that I think has done pretty well at that. So I would love to see him make the roster or at the very least stay on the practice squad.
Yeah, it was, I love a good big man touchdown. First off, Easton Stick must set the record for most passes batted. Last year, I swear it was two times a practice. I think it was four times at the scrimmage that I went to. It happens again here. Gaziano bats it. And boy, just watching like this, he just, and then just like this big, like,
the shoe. You have a football behind you, man.
That's a nice football. I'm not going to use that. The guy's just, but you know, it got everybody so fired up, and it was awesome to see. I hope it makes difficult decisions happen, but maybe the right ones for this roster. It did seem like, again, far field, very hard to see defensive tackles, but it did seem like both Gaziano and Fajoco were out there over Otito, which I guess isn't a surprise when you're a fifth round pick. I just kind of figured like they were really high on him. They drafted him. They frankly have not shown that they care all that much about like Fajoco, Merrill, Gaziano, obviously Broughton. Like I thought he would be out there, but he wasn't, or he was, but just after those guys. So Gaziano with a pick six of Easton Stick, right in Fajoco splits both Brendan Hymus and Will Clapp on a double team for a tackle for loss. Like those guys are out there. They're fighting. We heard there's going to be more competition on the defensive tackle room this year. I think that'll happen, but for right now, like these guys look like they want it so bad. Again, one day of practice, and I hope they get the chance to shine some more.
Yeah, I mean, this is just another reason why you don't keep four running backs again, right? You feel you free up that roster spot for somebody like Joe Gaziano or Brain Fajoco to kind of come in and make an impact. So Karen asking about the field situation, they have to keep the front field fresh. Like you can't just use the one front field the whole time, or else the grass just like really tears up and becomes unusable at some point. So they go back and forth probably tomorrow. I'm guessing they'll be on the front field, and then maybe on Friday they'll be back on the second field, and then Saturday they'll be on the front field. So they've got to keep both sides of the field fresh because they do use both. Otherwise, you just kind of tear up the grass. So the other shout out that, again, I wasn't there, right, but just based off of people's reactions, Dean Leonard, two pass breakups today, according to Arjun and some others, that was confirmed. Chargers Social posted a couple of videos of him as well. again, need to see a lot more of this. John Brandon last year had a lot of pass breakups, a few interceptions in training camp, and wasn't even kept on the practice squad. So need to see this continue. But if Dean Leonard is out there getting two pass breakups essentially every time he's on the practice field, which is kind of seems like it's been the case, then he's going to be mighty hard to cut. And I think, you know, we talked about this on Sunday, that just raw potential is real. Like, I did not see this kind of ball production player on tape, and then you come into mini camp and training camp and he's getting pass breakups every single day. So Dean Leonard has been the best surprise so far throughout training camp and mini camp. Again, it's only been like six practices for him because of rookie camp and mini camp, but so far so good for Dean Leonard.
Yeah, just a very good so far boundary corner who doesn't particularly panic when the ball is in the air and needs to make some sort of play. Does it always work? Not necessarily. I think Josh Palmer was able to moss him somehow, but like still in very good position. The one against Guyton today, like watching the replay, if you pause it enough times, it's like, well, okay. Did he turn his head around? Like, well, okay. Would Jalen Guyton normally be having to stop to try to go up, you know, for one? Like, would it have been pass interference potentially? Eh. But still, like, he's out there making plays. Like, this, if there was any way he would be good on this team and show out, it really, to me, was the ball skills. Like, this is the boundary ball skills, like downfield. Like, this is the one thing, A, that they kind of missed last year, and B, this is the thing that I thought he was best at. That said, I do want to see him cover a slant. I want to see him make a stop in the run game. You know, I want to see him do more than just work downfield versus vertical, you know, receivers or whatever. But it's a really, really good start for him. Like, if you're talking about, you know, standout so far, combining, you know, the mini camp and this, he's kind of off to like a Mark Webb start, which is like, you put him on the field, also a seventh round pick, and he just has good ball skills. He just, for whatever reason, continues to break up passes, and kudos to him. Like, he is definitely making it impossible to get rid of him. They still might, because they have to work out things a certain way. Maybe they need a fifth linebacker because, you know, Murray's not quite ready or something, but he's looking great so far, and kudos to him, honestly.
Arjun always peddling the anti-Joe Burrow stuff. I love it. I love the commitment, man. Was that a... So he had... Easton Stick did not have a good day, it sounds like.
It's just more like, okay, so you kind of watch Justin Herbert, and with his eyes closed and one pinky, he throws it 85 yards downfield. Then it's just different. Like, Easton Stick is just not, and Chase Daniel as well, they're not the same guys as Justin Herbert.
Sure.
Did I think it was as bad as Arjun is saying? No, but, you know, he was fine. Like, it's just different. One of these players is Justin Herbert, the other one is Easton Stick, and there's a very clear difference between the two.
Yeah, I love how Robert Mays, after the practice, posted a picture of Justin at the podium, and he was like, this is a tall quarterback.
Good analysis.
Yeah.
On one hand, like, yeah, it is Justin Herbert and the other one's Easton Stick, but it's also like, we've seen a pretty large enough sample size from Easton Stick in the preseason to kind of know that's who he is. I mean, especially just like not being on time with certain throws and just being pretty late. So I'm not terribly surprised that this is where Easton Stick is. I would love Joe Gaziano to take Easton Stick's roster spot. I think that should happen. I think that they should just keep two QBs.
Keep seven defensive tackles. I'm good with it.
Keep seven defensive tackles. Keep another corner if you want to. If you want to keep Tavon Campbell and Dean Leonard, just get rid of Easton Stick already. This experiment has failed. We've been through it enough years. There's no Taysom Hill ability. He throws like Taysom Hill. That's about the only thing that he has. So I'm just done with this experiment at this point.
Yeah. What's the point? Like,
yeah,
okay, they want him to be the backup of the future, I guess. But like,
backup of the future.
Like, I mean, yeah, sure. Like, they do need someone post Chase Daniel. Don't get me wrong, but like,
you can draft that point? Somebody next year.
Exactly. Yeah, I would love for them to just start it. Like, there's so many more valuable players. We literally saw this last year. The reason they should have, running back, linebacker, quarterback, whatever. It's such an easy cut situation, in my opinion. There's no longer this, you know, this COVID restriction, you know, NFL season. So I understand last year, sure. Like, I could make that argument. You need an extra quarterback just in case something happens. But honestly, like, if it comes down to, you know, if Herbert gets hurt and Daniel gets hurt, you could probably just sign another quarterback that's out. Like, I'd rather get Phillip Rivers off the street right now. And I bet you he could probably, he at least probably wouldn't have his passes batted down as much.
It's bro, just, I'd get Billy Volek off the street right now over Chase, not Chase Daniel, Easton Stick.
There you go.
Ty Long got Tavon Campbell absolutely destroyed, and I would still have Ty Long as the quarterback over Easton Stick. I wouldn't do that.
No, I would.
Hey, man, I actually found out the other day that Billy Volek grew up like 10 minutes away from where I live right now, and I had no idea that he was a Central Valley kid until a couple weeks ago.
If you're gonna keep three QBs, let Pat White be the third QB.
Because there we go. We didn't even talk about this, man. The Chargers hired Pat White, like one of the coolest players of my childhood.
And to be, if you actually like want to have a dual threat Taysom Hill like option, then let Pat White could do that better than Easton Stick too.
Shout out Pat White, man. I don't think he'll have a ton of influence, right? But Justin Herbert running some of that Rich Rod option offense, man. Sign me up. That'd be a lot of fun. All right, Tyler, speaking of quarterbacks, we'll transition here. Thoughts on Justin Herbert's first day of training camp?
He's Justin Herbert, you know, looked good. On the flip side of that, by the way, I didn't see many drop passes. I think there was maybe one in drills. Otherwise, I thought it looked pretty good. Like, I think it was pretty clean overall. So that's really good. Listen, he's mostly throwing versus air. He looks like Justin Herbert. He looked fine to me. I will say, like, the connection to Everett so far, again, one freaking day, was not as strong as someone like Jared Cook, who it felt like he was catching a pass every four reps.
Yeah.
But still, like,
Jared Cook connection was like pretty instant too. It was like instant, day one, we were like, Jared Cook's catching all these balls.
Yeah, absolutely. Everett just, he's there, and he caught a couple, sure. It just wasn't like quite the same. But again, Justin Herbert looked great, looked the part, you know, signed autographs for everybody. He's the QB1. What am I supposed to say?
Alex, any thoughts there?
I didn't hear anything bad about him. I heard bad things about the other quarterbacks, but Justin Herbert seemed like he had a good day. Pretty expected at this point. I do miss the days of like going through and being like, oh, who won today, Justin or Tyrod? Like, that was kind of the great time, but now it's just like, all right, well, he's our QB1, so there's it's not like even if he had a bad day, we would be like, oh man, that's a real problem.
Yeah. And so I did listen to his press conference today, which I don't usually do because, I mean, I love Justin, but he's same answers are like, it's very repetitive stuff from Justin Herbert in the press conference, which is fine. But, you know, he was asked about like what he has kind of grown the most in between now and his rookie season. And I'm paraphrasing, but basically he was trying to say, like, as a rookie, I was just out here trying to survive. Like, I was just trying to not like have a terrible day. And now I'm like able to learn the why of what is happening on offense, the why of what is happening on defense, and really able to kind of elevate my mental game, if you will. So I think we're going to see a big improvement from Justin Herbert in terms of like identifying pre-snap looks, identifying post-snap looks. And the post-snap thing in particular was something that I was hoping that we would see improvement upon, because that was kind of something that he struggled with last year. So, you know, him being able to audible at the line more often, him being able to handle cadences and identify those simulated pressures and things like that is going to be a fantastic thing. And yes, Kevin, Justin always says it's a great opportunity. He said that like four times today, but there was some good things in his press conference today as well.
Can't wait to see it. I'm really curious. I didn't really get a sense that today was any different than what they ran on offense last year. So I'm really curious once they put pads on, like what do they have in store? Who are they targeting? You know, if Josh Palmer is going to be out there, maybe over Jalen Guyton, seemed even today, like, does their offense change because Palmer's not a speed threat? You can work vertically, but he's not much of a speed threat. So how does that change? We'll find out.
Yeah, I guess it just feels like right now, as long as Justin Herbert's like kind of studying the film and he's, you know, going through camp and everything, it just feels like everything that he needs to actually improve on to get better to the next level will be done in the regular season, right? In sure. terms of whether he can audible up line and do all that stuff or not. So,
oh yeah, we're not seeing Justin Herbert play any preseason games. That's not happening. All right, so if you have any questions in the chat, now is the time to ask them. We'll get some going. And then I want to ask Tyler, anybody else that you wanted to give some shine to today that stood out, caught your attention?
I feel like we've covered most everyone at this point. And again, one day, no pads. I will say it looked like Josh Palmer was very active out there, catching a couple of passes. It looked like there's a nice interchangeability. I will say that, like, Palmer has currently a bigger grasp on, like, the wide receiver three job than someone like Tyron Johnson did last year fighting with Jalen Guyton. Whereas, like, Jalen Guyton was the wide receiver three last year, and then sometimes Johnson would rotate in. Palmer, at worst between the two, it's 60-40, 50-50. So I really think Palmer is pushing Guyton more than Johnson did at this point last year. So I think good for Palmer so far.
Yeah, I'm super excited about Palmer, man. I think he's going to be the talk of the show throughout the rest of the training camp. Like Brett just said, I was about to say the same thing. He's just so crisp in everything that he does. There's no wasted movement. There's no wasted energy. So I'm excited to see what Josh Palmer can put out through the rest of training camp.
One more guy, obviously, J.C. Jackson. You kind of just want to see these things in person, you know, have that box checked for yourself. And he was covering Mike Williams on like a curl or comeback or whatever. Just perfect pass break with Justin Herbert throwing. It looks different. Like, this looks like corner play, man. Like, this looked really good. And that's not an easy coverage. You know, Mike Williams, granted, not the best route runner. Curl comeback is not like his best thing, but he's a big dude and he's very good at shielding himself. J.C. Jackson, not the biggest guy. Great pass breakup. I'm thrilled. Like, watching him, it's like, oh, okay, we got something different here.
Yeah, I imagine there's a very similar feeling to like watching, you know, Khalil Mack versus what was happening last year as opposite of Joey Bosa and things like that. So a couple of people asking about the tight ends. DeSimo asking about Donald Parham specifically. Mm-hmm. Chorizo Compapas, any thoughts on the tight end group? So did you see, obviously you mentioned about Gerald Everett already. Anything from the other guys kind of stood out to you today, if at all?
Nah, not really. Same order that we expect, the 1-2-3. Camp Moyer was involved, I think, as like the tight end 4, I guess, if you want to start talking about that. Again, Stone Smart is hurt, and I would expect Camp Moyer to be the tight end 4, if you will. He did catch a pass, if I'm not mistaken. He was lined up at H-back a little bit. So there's some play there for sure. If you want to lump him into this, Xander Horvath was lined up out wide a couple of times. So there is kind of something there. But then Neighbors was doing that last year too. It's just something that they like to. So it's something that they like to do with their fullbacks, and no separation between the two guys at this point. So it's kind of about what we'd expect. And frankly, it's going to be Everett as the main pass catcher. Parham will look good, and I'm sure he'll catch, you know, a handful of red zone touchdown passes throughout training camp. But no surprises here, other than maybe Camp Moyer being tight end 4, which is not really a surprise anyway.
Yeah, I saw a couple people talking about Stone Smart playing defense. There are two number 48s on the Chargers. Skylar Thomas, right, is the safety, the undrafted free agent one. So Stone Smart was on a scooter still yesterday. So I don't think he's practicing anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. I actually want to address this from Hugo here. Not the Tillery being cut part, but just talking about the group. So can you realistically see Tillery getting cut? I think it's better to keep Oko so-and-so on with this question. So Arjun picked this up, not me, so I have to shout him out. In base 3-4, which I don't understand why, I'm just relaying the information, it was Tillery, Sebastian Joseph Day at nose, and then Morgan Fox. Those are your starters in your base 3-4. Now, why would you do that? I don't know. I mean, Morgan Fox being there, I guess I'm not really surprised.
Sure.
It's just the absence of a certain Austin Johnson. Then when they went to their nickel package, then Austin Johnson came in. Morgan Fox and Jerry Tillery went out. What's my long-winded way of saying that Tillery is in base defense as a starter right now, and it seems like that's kind of their plan to go more pass rush heavy in base 3-4. Again, one day, no pads. But he's involved currently, so I don't see him as a cut candidate. And frankly, after how he lined up today, I don't see that even happening.
Yeah, I don't see Jerry Tillery getting cut. Like, there's just no point in doing that. And I know everybody is really frustrated with what we've seen from Jerry Tillery so far, but I just can't see Tom Telesco signing off on letting Tillery get cut. So in terms of the rotation so far, again, it's just the one day. Typically, when you're in like your base defense, you're talking about like a typical run situation. or at least like there's a strong threat of the other team running. So if that were the front week one starting base defense, I would be completely shocked, because Jerry Tillery and Morgan Fox ain't stopping nobody against the run. I can tell you that. I think Morgan Fox is better against the run than Jerry Tillery is, but you paid Austin Johnson $7 million a year. He is going to be a starter in terms of base packages. I think this was just them kind of mixing and matching things.
Yeah. If you have Fox and Tillery on the same field against the run week one, that is going to be a problem. I don't think that's going to end up happening. I do think they eventually, you know, bring Austin Johnson more to the centerfold, you know, like we've been talking about. But I guess if you like want to just put some extra pass rushers out there, then like it's not a horrible idea on like third down if you know it's like an obvious pass. Sure. But no, I that's a definite concern for me if that's, you know, what the base 3-4 is week one. Don't think that's what it's going to end up being, but yeah, I think also just based on how you paid Austin Johnson too, right? I mean, you're paying him $7 million a year. To me, he has to be, you know, a starter.
Yeah, as Kevin points out, don't see how it makes sense to have Austin Johnson in there and nickel. You're running a lighter box, so you want to be stouter up front. So again, I think Austin Johnson is going to be a starter for this team. If you're telling me that like the main three defensive tackles are going to be Morgan Fox, Jerry Tillery, and Sebastian Joseph Day, I'm going to tell you that the run defense is going to be worse than last year. So
yep.
I don't see how that thing happens at all.
I
feel like this was just them trying to figure out who fills in where. Maybe they're trying to figure out how they can fix Austin Johnson and Sebastian Joseph Day in at the nose tackle or not and things like that. So again, Austin Johnson financially on the cap sheet, he's a starter. So and he is the second best run defender on the team. He needs to be there.
I will say that 4-2-5 look with Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, Sebastian Joseph Day, Austin Johnson, and that Kyle Van Noy, Drew Tranquil, you know, Jackson, well, Derwin James would be there. Like, I'm like, that's your starting unit right there. Like, you were running, like, you were at nickel this whole freaking time, and that's exactly what you're going to run. So I really think that's what it ends up being. I don't think Staley wants to be in this 3-4, but it's weird to see that those two guys were out there instead of Johnson.
Yeah, I would expect them to play a lot of nickel, right? Like that's basically like the base. That's like the real base defense in the NFL nowadays is nickel. So we'll see how that one goes. Serge asking about Zion today. There was no pads. There was like one team session. He looked really good, man. He's really cut up from the pictures. You can tell that he's just like really taking his body seriously over the last couple of years. And again, it's so hard to have any offensive lineman takeaways when there's no pads.
Yeah, I wish I could comment more. I really they're just so impossible to see anything.
Yeah, especially the guards, like when you're on the opposite field.
Yeah, exactly. So the good news is I don't know if somebody beat him. I don't know. I didn't notice. Like there was no like I know who Braden Fajoco beat. I know like Gaziano got the tip pass or whatever. If Zion got beat, I never saw it. Like it's so I think he did well. We're waiting for pads.
Zero fumbles.
I will say I am super excited when they get pads on, man. And you're talking about Zion versus Sebastian Joseph Day and Austin Johnson. That's a really good group for him to get some practice reps against. We didn't really talk about the right tackle situation yet so far, which I'm pretty surprised about because it's kind of like one of the bigger storylines. But you pointed out that Storm Norton was out there with the first rotation of drills. Trey Pipkins was out there in the second rotation of drills. This seems exactly like what we saw last year where they're both rotating heavily at right tackle. Of course, when Brian Bulaga was missing practice, which happened like all the freaking time. So I would not necessarily expect anyone to pull away until we get like a preseason game. But any thoughts there, either of you, on Pipkins and Storm Norton essentially splitting 50-50 today?
I mean, it's basically the same thing we saw last month, right? When at OTAs, when Norton was starting and Pipkins rotated in. Yeah. So it's going to be the same song and dance until one of them wins the job, whether that's, you know, later in the preseason. Is it going to be in training camp? I don't know. But I think for now, it's basically business as usual.
Yeah, no surprise. It's kind of like the wide receiver three battle. Like there's not really a wide receiver three starter yet between Palmer and Guyton. But if you had to say who was the first guy to trot out with the starting unit, more often than not was Storm Norton, same thing like Josh Palmer. So it's kind of a flip-flop right now. And sometimes when Storm Norton would play right tackle, Slater would go out, Pipkins would play left tackle. There's no real separation at this point. It's going to take a preseason game, many weeks of practice, maybe the joint practice, stuff like that. It's going to be this flip-flop the entire next 2 weeks, if not the entire preseason.
Micah Parsons is the kingmaker in the, coming up in the right tackle battle.
Yeah, whoever does better against Micah. I mean, they're going to go up against Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa every day in practice, so they're going to get baptized every single day. So.
Yep.
I've seen a couple people ask about the situation at cornerback outside of JC and Asante Samuel Jr. You pointed out that Bryce Callen was actually returning some punts every so often. Any updates there on Bryce Callahan versus Michael Davis?
Yeah, so it's Bryce Callahan in the slot. I never saw Bryce Callahan with Mike Davis on the field. You have your three starters, it's who we expected. You know, JC Jackson, Asante Samuel Jr., Bryce Callahan in the slot. Callahan leaves, and JC Jackson leave. Michael Davis comes in, Tavon Campbell comes in. Asante Samuel Jr. moves to the slot. So I suppose if there's some sort of injury to Bryce Callahan, Asante Samuel Jr. will move to the slot. I don't really know who else he would move to the slot. Hopefully he's not doing so well at outside corner, then you have to stick him in the slot because you have an injury. But for right now, you know, Asante Samuel Jr. and Jackson are your outside starters, Callahan in the middle or in the slot, and then Tavon Campbell, Michael Davis backup. It's crazy that Tavon Campbell and Michael Davis are like the backups. It's like they're two completely opposite commitments to those players.
Yeah. So you said Asante was essentially like the backup slot then?
Yeah, once they rotated to the backups, Asante Samuel Jr. moved to the slot.
Okay. I like that, though. I think that's good for Asante being able to cross train and play those matchups a little bit more. So I think that gives them more flexibility. Again, if you're talking about, you know, specific matchups where, like, you need Michael Davis's speed and height as opposed to Bryce Callahan's ability in the slot, you know, you can put Asante in the slot and be able to survive there. So,
yeah,
I think that's what's best for Asante, is be able to play both spots for sure. Thomas Martinez asking about JT Woods. Did he look fast? Was he looking good? What'd you see from him today?
Wasn't able to see much of him today, to be completely honest. I wasn't as focused and keyed in on him, so I'll try to do that more. To be completely honest at this point, yes, he's fast, but he's now on a field with a bunch of very talented NFL defenders. So sure, is he probably faster than those guys? Yeah, but everyone looks fast.
Yeah. When you're at an NFL practice, the speed really stands out to you. It really does. Like, as opposed to being up in like the 300 sections. And I mean, they still look fast, right? But
sure,
when you're right there on top of them, the speed really shows up.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of people asking about Joe Reed. He looks great. Did you see anything on the field from him today?
I don't recall a specific play. He didn't drop anything. They didn't do kick return today, so I don't know what his involvement would be there, but he was not out there with the punt returners. It was Bandy, it was Carter, obviously starting, and then Bryce Callahan. So he's not involved with punt return. He kind of seemed like a guy that's in the mix for wide receiver six. Again, everybody else that's not the starting five is in the mix for wide receiver six, but like nothing that really stood out so far.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously in that group you have Reed, Bandy, the undrafted free agents, Jason Moore for like the eighth year, feels like. I feel like Jason Moore has been on the team forever, man. I really do. But I would love to see them keep another six receiver, especially if Joe Reed is able to like flash some things. I think it just gives them more options, right? If somebody, obviously somebody has to take advantage of that opportunity, but I'd love to see it be Joe Reed, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm. I guess Bryce Callahan being out there is kind of weird. Maybe this is just one of their preseason experiment sort of things. Obviously, he has no chance of being a kick returner or punt returner, but it's weird for me to see that be the rotation, I guess. Bandy, I guess, kind of expected as a holdover from last year. A little bit surprised no Roundtree involvement at all when it comes to the punt returner's spot, but yeah, I guess we'll see the kick returners at some point.
Yeah, I don't think Roundtree was involved last year either.
No, Roundtree was just kick. Roundtree was just kickoffs.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. Okay, so I think that's it for the questions, at least the ones that I wanted to get to. Of course, shout out to both of Tyler's parents dropping super stickers in the chat, as they always do. Appreciate it. The last thing that I want to talk about today, or at least mention, was something that Brandon Staley talked about in his press conference, because he's been dubbed like this analytics guy, right? Like, everybody loves analytics and Brandon Staley. And I saw even in the video that they posted of him signing autographs, like, one of the fans was like, "What about the analytics? What about the analytics?" It has never been about just analytics for Brandon Staley.
Yeah.
And I think to anybody that listens, that has been abundantly clear. And he was asked about that again today. And he was like, "Listen, these decisions are a feel. They're about the mindset. They're about confidence in your players." And I think that is the thing that I've loved to see about him. And obviously I want to see some tweaks here. Like, I would love to see going for it on 4th and 17 or whatever on your own 20. Like, that stuff can go away. But the fourth down thing has, for him, has always been an expression of confidence in Justin Herbert specifically, and in the offense, and, you know, to a lesser extent, the defense, to be able to kind of hold up. So I love that we got that expression from him today, because it was really like the first time where he was like, "I use math, but it's not the way that I make decisions today." So
yeah,
I really liked that from Brandon Staley. That was kind of like my final thought that I had for the first day of training camp.
Yeah, I mean, even when you talk about the fourth down from the own 23 in the Raiders game, it's like, that decision was partially made because Brandon Staley had no confidence in the run defense, and it's hard to really have confidence based on what last year's group was. So, you know, if you're projecting the defense to be a little bit better this year, especially in the run game after signing Sebastian Joseph Day and Austin Johnson, then you could see the fourth down rate go down more in terms of those attempts. And so people's reaction, or the national media reaction to that, would be like, "Oh, we bullied Brandon Staley out of going for it on fourth down." It's just like, no, he has a better defense now, and that's why he doesn't have to go for it quite as often, right? So definitely one of the feel for the game quotes, I think, was really good to hear, just in terms of what the national media perception on Staley is versus what it actually is, which is something we've always known, but, you know, obviously further emboldened.
Yeah, I mean, and ditto all of that. If it were all about the analytics and he only relied on the numbers, then he would have gone for it more. There were plenty of instances, I think, against the Vikings as well, where he could have gone for it, and the numbers said, "Go for it, go for it, go for it," and he didn't. So there's obviously some, you know, taken into consideration, you know, the players' situations and all that. Yeah, I'm sure it helps. The numbers absolutely should inform your decisions. To not use numbers would be ridiculous, but to also assume that he only relies on the numbers is ridiculous as well. So I'm glad he's sticking with his guns, and I'm happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, like, he went against the numbers on every decision against the Denver Broncos, and I remember thinking, like, what the hell? This is the Denver Broncos. Drew Lock is their quarterback. Why are we not burying this team? So, you know, I think it's just important for him to, like, grow in that confidence, as Teresa is saying in the chat. I think we saw that a little bit, and have seen that a little bit with, like, how he is presenting himself with the media. So that was my final thought. Alex, did you have any final thoughts before today?
Nope. Just hope Derwin James signs that contract, get that done as soon as possible, and we get him practicing as soon as Tom Telesco and Ed McGuire say so.
Yeah, watch them do that extension in like an hour. 4 minutes. Right after.
Oh, it's coming at 9. It's coming at 9:30. Telesco's gonna let Ian Rappaport out of the basement, and, you know, let him do it. But
oh man, good stuff. That's always the case. I feel like we're either like get it right on the head, or we're like, what the hell? Like, we were just recording. Tyler, any final thoughts today, man?
No, just happy to be back at training camp. I'll be there tomorrow and the next day and the next day and plenty of days after that. I appreciate UCI for working with me and giving me a week off in between the two summer sessions. Glad that really worked out, so I get to go to training camp and watch people throw against air.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Love it. Training camp is back. Football is back. Super excited for all of this. And, can't wait to live vicariously through Tyler and Arjun over the next few days. So appreciate everybody in the chat. This is the most people we had live in quite some time. So, you know, thank you guys for tuning in today. Thank you for your great questions as well as your support. So last thing here, in case you missed it, Tyler has one tweet for a few giveaways, including a Derwin James jersey as well as a Mike Williams jersey. So, and then I have a Joey Bosa giveaway pending on my page, so check those out. Appreciate all your support. So if you're listening to the audio version of this show, please leave us a rating or a review. We always appreciate that feedback as well. If you feel like you have a very specific question that you want to get off your chest, you can do it in those reviews, and we'll be sure to answer those and feature them on a podcast. So that's going to do it. Thanks as always. Bolt up.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.